Okay, today, our message will be presented by Reverend, our spiritual leader, Reverend Glenda Davis, and it's entitled, "How Old Are You?"
Thank you, Diane. And thank you, musicians, and everyone who's participated. It's been wonderful. Diane is in a little bit of pain this morning, so let's just send our loving, healing thoughts to her and surround her with that while she moves through this. And Jackie fell too? Oh my God.
I'm not in pain like you are.
And our musicians were wonderful. Thank you. We appreciate you jumping in there. And Rick has been back there on that soundboard. How many in a row? A long time. People keep having to bail out for one reason or another. So we're grateful for all of our team that works together. Yes. Okay. So we have been looking at the month of April of how humanity and divinity intersect, how they come together. And the affirmation that I'd like to share with you today is, I am eternally young and spiritually mature. I am eternally young and spiritually mature. So our goal with that affirmation is to be childlike in our wonder, filled with awe, filled with amazement at life, filled with appreciation of life, while at the same time being spiritually mature. So childlike and childish are not the same. Childish and spiritually immature is not the same thing as being childlike and spiritually mature. Spiritual maturity is being anchored and centered in the reality of life, what is in life, and our place in it. It's being able to see the changes that life brings to us while keeping focused on what is changeless, the love, the beauty, and the truth. So none of us, unfortunately, are going to make it through life without some pain. That just seems to come with the human condition. But we can move through pain and not get stuck in it. If you've ever, and I'm sure you have, watched or been around children, you'll notice that they can, just like that, change from being upset, angry, fearful. Just in an instant, they can be laughing joyously. They've felt the pain, it's moved through them, and they've just kept going. Well, we have the ability to remember that, to remember ourselves as children, and how we let pain just move through us, and we got back to our natural, joyful state. So forgiveness is one of the pathways that lead us into this place of moving through to our joy. Forgiveness of ourselves and forgiveness of others. There's a wonderful childlike quality that we can reclaim. We can know how to use it. We already do know how to use it, but we've forgotten. We've gotten into the world of effects that the world has hypnotized us into seeing. Spiritually mature people work on forgiveness as a regular spiritual practice. Charles Fillmore, who is the co-founder of Unity, said that every day in his spiritual practice, he spent 30 minutes every day working on forgiveness. And as I was pondering that, as I'm writing my talk yesterday, I got to thinking about that 30 minutes on forgiveness. So I thought, I'm going to time myself. I'm going to do 30 minutes right now. So I sat there and I started on this spiritual practice of forgiveness for 30 minutes. And it was a wonderfully peaceful time. And I can report that by the end of that, I was feeling very uplifted, very clear. And there was something that I also noticed that I want to share with you. Whenever I went through the forgiveness practice and I forgave someone for what I felt was a transgression in some sort, I realized that I then was led to forgive myself for having committed something of the same nature at some point in time. So forgiveness is a circular thing. It goes around. It goes from where we think we've been hurt to where we have done something. And so I remember that line in our song, all the things I judge are done by people just like me. So that was very helpful to me. So I highly recommend this practice of forgiveness as a way to clear out those energy blocks that are stuck someplace. You know, energy is a thing that can get stuck in our system and can keep us from experiencing the joy. The same pathways that bring the joy are what cause the blocks, or where the blocks are held. So if we just allow that to move through us, we can get back to our natural state, freeing us up to that childlike wonder that lives within us. So I'm certainly planning to incorporate that into my own spiritual practice, and I invite you to do it too. So how old are you? How old are you? I was 20 years old when I found this book, Live Youthfully Now. I was a Unity student at that time, and why a 20-year-old would be attracted to a book like that, I have no idea. But I was, and I was very interested in reading it, and I read it and studied it and began to incorporate some of these ideas. I studied Unity teachings for 10 years before I found Science of Mind teachings with Ernest Holmes. And Ernest Holmes says about that, in truth, there is no beginning or end, for there was never a commencement of life in the eternal, and there will never be an ending. Age is a person's measure of a period of experience. So we have a period of experience, and we say that is our age. So Anthony has had a 57-year period of experience. That doesn't mean he's old. He's had a period of experience. And as we have had bigger periods of experience, we have more experience to bring forth in our lives. So the universe doesn't know anything about age, doesn't know anything about time. Those are human inventions. We made up the idea of time. We invented it so we wouldn't all show up at the same time at the same place, or miss our airplane or miss our meetings. We had to have some way to gauge it so that we could carry out our agreements with one another. But if we use time as a measure of how much life we have left that we're capable of enjoying, that is a misuse of the idea of time. It can be helpful if we use it to gauge where we need to be, but if we use it to limit ourselves, we are misusing time. Some prominent doctors have announced that time of itself has no power to cause the phenomenon associated with aging in human beings. The changes and deterioration generally ascribed to age, these medical specialists said, are not caused by the accumulation of years. They're a result of the power of the human mind. Our own mind, with its great creative power, has been conditioned to believe that the passing of years inevitably causes us to become feeble and lose our mental and physical powers. So they state, these physicians state, that the real cause of old age is our own deeply rooted belief that time automatically causes old age, plus living our life habits, changing our life habits due to this belief. So we're told to reduce our physical activities, curtail our expenditure of energy, slow down, settle down into less active living. We believe these warnings that are given out in the race consciousness, and we obey them. And that's what they say causes our body to begin to show signs of aging. The American Medical Association put out a booklet some years back and it was established that there are no diseases of the aged. No diseases of the aged. In other words, there are no diseases that are going to inevitably happen just because we get a few years under our belt. Like the person who went to the doctor complaining that their right knee was hurting. The doctor said, well, it's just because you're getting old. She said, but my left knee is just as old and it's not hurting. So that law did not apply, did it? That was inaccurate. These ideas about aging are based on the superstition or the mistaken assumption that the years we live invariably work changes in our mind and body, and those finally result in old age. If we want to remain young as long as we live, we'll have to reject and uproot those beliefs, those deeply entrenched beliefs about time and age. And this is going to take some determined time and effort. It's going to take some work in that direction. We'll have to unlearn many things that we've learned along the way. So if you didn't know how old you were, how old would you be? Think of that. If you didn't know, how old would you be? So while the scientists and the doctors and the cosmetic companies are studying and isolating the aging process, we in New Thought have a different approach. We find aid and inspiration from that higher power that dwells within us, and we study and use de-aging thoughts and ideas to change and reverse the race consciousness idea that we're all under. It's hovering over us. There's a belief in certain things. We believe that you have to pay your taxes. Well, that's a pretty universal belief. And we believe that it's flu season, you're going to get the flu. Be careful if you go out in the rain, you'll catch a cold. Those are things that people believe. Those are not true, except we make them true by our belief. It's the same thing about the effects of aging. If time really did have the power to cause aging and infirmity, why doesn't everybody have the same milestones at every age? They don't. You'll see people at 70 living like a 90-year-old or like a 40-year-old. There's many different variations along that path. I'm sure you've heard stories about people who have defied the superstitions of aging and went on to live vigorous and active lives well beyond the age that others did. Years back, in a San Francisco newspaper, there was an article about a man named Larry Lewis. He was a regular employee as a banquet waiter at the St. Francis Hotel in San Francisco, and he was 95 years old at the time of the article. Every morning, he ran 6 miles around the Golden Gate Park. He was still celebrating and still working until his death at the age of 106. On his 102nd birthday, he ran a 100-yard dash in 17.3 seconds, which was a half a second less than he ran it on his 101st birthday. He attributed the better speed to having new sneakers. He had new sneakers that helped him run faster. Our son used to say that, "I've got these sneakers, they really help me run fast." So that was what he was doing with his life. Renee has a friend who's a massage therapist down in Tampa. And in her late 80s, she was still carrying her massage table around to people's homes, giving massages, and going out to Denver, Colorado to ski downhill. Mm-hmm. Now she's 93 years old, she's still active in the massage business, and she's still driving her car around the busy city of Tampa. So she hasn't let some number interfere with her expression of the life within her. So what ages us is the belief in the effects of time, our belief, and we can change that. We are the thinker that can change the thoughts. Thank you for that song. Okay, so Dr. Frederick Schwartz of Lansing, Michigan said, "There are no diseases caused by the mere passage of time. They are caused by the lack of physical and mental exertion." He went on to say, "Daily mental and physical exercise practice with some degree of self-discipline should raise the life expectancy figure 10 years in one generation." Unity and the Centers for Spiritual Living teach that old age is the result of a false belief about ourselves. These false beliefs die hard because they're very deeply entrenched in our racial subconscious mind. You've heard me talk about the race consciousness, the beliefs that everybody has. These are very deeply entrenched. So it takes some real effort, some real awareness, some real waking up, some real intention to uproot these ideas and move in a different direction. And every one of us has inherited some part of that racial subconscious belief system. Oliver Wendell Holmes said, "We are all tattooed in our cradles with the beliefs of our tribe." We're all tattooed in our cradles with the beliefs of our tribe. A little boy of 3 experienced his first sunburn, and after a few days, his nose and his face started to peel. And his mother heard him standing in front of the mirror and said, "Only 3 years old and wearing out already." So we might laugh at that because we think it's silly or childlike because he didn't have a better knowledge of what sunburn is about and what peeling is about. But it also illustrates what Judge Oliver Wendell Holmes said, that we're tattooed in our cradles with tribal beliefs. And this deep-seated belief in wearing out, in getting old, was already showing up in his thinking. So it's the belief in aging, influence of time, that does the harm. That's what does the harm. I'm going to check this thermostat. Hang on just a minute. Sometimes it's on the wrong setting. Let's see. I'm going to turn it down a little bit. There, that should help. Won't take long now. It's set too high. Okay. So a belief is an inner subconscious acceptance of ideas as being true. We know that we can change our beliefs, first by understanding about beliefs and how they affect us, and then by knowing that we are the thinker. We are the thinker that can change those beliefs. A good affirmation to begin to neutralize aging beliefs is, "Time of itself has no power to age me." I've included in your bulletin a little white sheet that looks like this. And it has, that one is the first one, "Time of itself has no power to age me." And it has some other beliefs, some other affirmations that you can use that will be beneficial to you. So this method of directing and employing the forces of our mind has been known for a very long time. However, until 150 years ago or so, they were only known by the secret brotherhoods around the world. You've heard of the Essenes and different groups like that that had secret teachings. Well, these are some of the teachings of how the mind works, how it affects us. And they kind of went underground for a long, long time until about 150 years ago in the United States, new thoughts sprung up. And so these are the secret beliefs that Unity, Science of Mind, and other new thought teachings share with us, that our mind is creative, our mind is powerful, our mind can change the direction of our life and our affairs. So when you take in a new thought or a new belief, you get a new experience. Now, when we catch on to this idea, you can't run out and try to convert others. Unfortunately, we have to work on ourselves. That's the way it works. So don't hold critical or judgmental thoughts about others. They are where they are. We've all inherited these beliefs, these subconscious beliefs. And how can we expect anyone to accept these principles if they haven't studied them and they don't understand them? These are new thoughts or newly rediscovered thoughts. Just use them in your own life and prove them in your own life until perhaps someone will want to know what it is that you know, and you can share because they've asked. But you'll kind of irritate them if you try to share things that they don't want to hear. So here's a fun way to use this idea of changing your thinking around aging. Pretend that you are 10 or maybe even 20 years younger than you are. Just go around. When you get up in the morning, just make your age 10 or 20 years younger than you are and pretend all day that that's how old you are. So what would you do different? How would you act different? How would you move different? What would you decide to do today if you knew you were 10 or 20 years younger than you are? That's one way that you can get into a new belief system. The imagination is very, very powerful. That is one of our most hidden assets, is our imagination. So use your imagination productively. Sometimes we use it non-productively by worrying. That's the same thing. It's the use of the imagination in a negative way. Use it productively to see yourself the way you'd like to be, to project that image of youth, health, and vitality. So the cells in our body are constantly being renewed and replaced. Did you know that your blood, the blood in your body, is only 4 months old? It's only 120 days old. That's as old as it is. Your blood isn't old. So the other cells of your body are also being continually renewed and replaced. Now, here's the clinker, though. Our mind is not that way. Our mind is what we are responsible for. Our body does it automatically. That's just the way the body is designed to work. But our mind, which has the controlling power over how our experience is going to be, is under our dominion. It's under our control. And you've heard the saying, God helps those who help themselves. Well, this is an idea. This is an area where you can help yourself. In Romans 12, 2, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what we do in New Thought Centers, in Unity and Centers for Spiritual Living Centers. We renew our minds. And from the Science of Mind textbook, it says, "Life cannot grow old. God in us, through us, as us, can only express perfection." Can only express perfection. Our affirmation is, "I give thanks for the presence and power of divine love, light, and life, bringing the promise of heaven to earth here and now." Let's read it together. I give thanks for the presence and power of divine love, light, and life, bringing the promise of heaven to earth here and now. And so it is. Before I lead in the closing prayer, I want to tell you that I ordered a book. I ordered one of these books for our bookstore that will be in this week. So if this book has intrigued you and you would like to look into it, it is available. Okay, so in our closing treatment today, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and just go within. And as you hear these words, hear these words as if you're saying them to yourself. These are words that you are saying to yourself. This is my eternal moment of revitalization, renewal, and remembrance. This is the moment I know myself as the radiant expression of the universal wholeness, which God is and I am. I dedicate my life from this moment forward to deepening my embodiment of the changeless love, creativity, spiritual authority, and generosity, which naturally flows inward, upward, and outward by means of me. I am a beneficial divine presence, living, learning, loving, and growing in an ever richer and riper manifestation of harmony, oneness, allness, and beauty. I let go and I simply and freely welcome God, knowing and experiencing itself by means of me. And so it is. Thank you.